Welcome to Torah Timecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will study the Haftorah for Parshas Vayeshev from Amos chapter 2, verse 6 to chapter 3, verse 8. Amos is the prophet, and his focus in our Haftorah is the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, Malchus Yisrael. This nation that is Jewish, that should be following the Torah, but who have strayed so far. Our Haftorah in Perek Beis follows a series of psukim, beginning in the first chapter, in which Hashem says, three sins I could carry, but not the fourth. And he says it about Damascus, about Aza, about Tsor, Ammon, Moab, Edom, then Yehuda, and now finally in our Haftorah, Yisrael. Chapter 2, verse 1. Ko amar Hashem, al shlosha pish'ei Yisrael, v'al arba'a lo ashivenu, al mechram ba'kesef tzadik ve'evyon ba'avor na'alayim. So says Hashem, for three sins of Yisrael, but the fourth I shall not revoke a decree, for their selling, the righteous for silver, the poor for shoes. Many commentaries do draw a connection between our Parsha and this Haftorah right here in this verse. It does seem to be a reference to the selling of Yosef, selling the righteous for silver, and Chazal tell us based on our verse that they took the profit of the sale and purchased shoes. The sin of Mechiras Yosef stands alone as a catastrophic and shocking crime without parallel, incomparably awful. Thousands of years later, even with all the commentaries and analyses. Yes, perhaps the brothers felt attacked. Yes, perhaps they misunderstood Yosef and truly believed he was trying to destroy them. With all that, it still remains incomprehensible to us. So difficult to reconcile this, that the Shvatim actually sold their own brother, ignoring his cries for mercy. They sold him in their minds to his death. It remains so painful in our national memory. And this brings us to our Haftorah. For Amos says, but what about you? Have you changed? Have you stopped using and abusing, selling into debt and destruction your brothers? Verse 7, Hashoafim al afar eretz berosh dalim v'derech anavim yatu v'ish v'aviv yalchu al hana'ara l'man chalel shem kachi. For crushing to the dirt the heads of the poor and make the humble walk a twisted course? Father and son go to the same woman and thereby profane my holy name. This is called a chilul Hashem, a desecration of the name of Hashem. Why? Because if we examine the list that these other nations are being accused of, we begin to notice a pattern. Damascus for torturing the people of Gilead, Aza, for the cruel way they exiled the Jews, placing them in the hands of Edom. Edom, for cruelly pursuing with the sword. Chazal explained that Hashem is saying, for these nations of the world, these mishpachos adama, families of earth, families of mankind, for we are all truly one family, children of Adam, children of Noah. I would forgive almost anything, God says, even the three cardinal sins, but this I cannot. What is this? It is cruelty, violence, interpersonal relationships that have degenerated into greed and hatred. And it's interesting, although most of the crimes and cruelty of these other nations were perpetrated on Yisrael, on us, the one Moab is accused of is for the vicious and sadistic burning to lime the king of Edom. And Rashi explains, the Tavaha Kadosh Baruch Hu Onas HaMelech Shenahagubo Bizayon, Hashem will punish them for the travesty, for the brutality. The pattern here is clear. Just as in the days of Noah and just as in Sodom, it's all about Hamas, cruelty, violence, and degenerated interpersonal relationships driven by greed and hatred. That is unforgivable. Hashem can forgive many things, but not the destruction of a just and compassionate world. The mission of mankind is to be a model of God in this world, embodying kindness, goodness, compassion. And perhaps this is the meaning, the purpose of first listing the travesties of the other nations and then the ones of Israel. The need for compassion is the great equalizer. Do not assume that because you are my beloved nation, I will ignore your behavior. There are duties you must fulfill to the service of God, but dereliction of those can be forgiven. As a servant of Hashem, your mistakes can be overlooked, but as a brother or a sister, a neighbor, and a member of society, the way you treat your fellow man is held in the eyes of Hashem with a sense of gravity which bars forgiveness. Actually, when it comes to Yisrael, then these disasters are compounded exponentially. Why? Let's reread that verse again, verse 7. For crushing to the dirt the heads of the poor and make the humble walk a twisted course, father and son go to the same woman and thereby profane my holy name. Why does it profane Hashem's name? Because you are my Yisrael. Because I have a plan for the world, Hashem says. And you are to play an integral role in its success. Because you were chosen to be a light unto the nations, my prophets to the world, and like a nazir for the world to look up to learn from and emulate. But in your greedy and avaricious behavior, you have begun to represent and embody cruelty, savagery. As the leaders and aristocracy of the people, taking care of the needy is certainly their responsibility. Not only are they neglecting them, they are abusing them, trampling their rights. And then Hashem says in verse 9, Va'anuchi hishmadati es ha'emori mipneihem, hasher kegova arazim gavho, v'chasonhu ka'alonim, v'ashmid peryomi mal v'sharashav mitachas. I destroyed the Amori before them, whose stature was like the cedars, who was as stout as the oak, destroying his boughs above and his roots below. Verse 10, Vanochi ha'alesi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, va'olech eschem ba'midbar arba'im shana la'reshes es eretz ha'emori. I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I took you through the desert for 40 years to inherit this land of Amori. And verse 11, va'akim mibnechem l'neviim, u'mibachurechem l'nezirim, ha'af ein zos b'nei Yisrael num Hashem. And I raised up prophets from among your sons, and Nazirites from among your young men. Is that not so, O people of Israel, says God. Hashem reminds us here, he didn't just choose us. Hashem invested so much into this Yisrael. Actually, Hashem, so to speak, put all his eggs in this one basket, saving us from Egypt, caring for us in the desert, clearing out Eretz Yisrael for us, schooling us, preparing us, uplifting us, edifying us. Why? So that there would be one nation, people who act like a Tzelem Elokim, who get it, who know how to treat each other, who know how to welcome strangers and care for the needy and live in peace with one another, who support and embrace. If we can be that prophet to the world, that nazir for the world, then there is hope, not only for the Jewish people, but for all God's people. But what did you do in verse 12? Vatashku es hanazirim yayin, va'al hanaviim tzivisam lemar lo tinabu'u. But you made the Nazirites drink wine and ordered the prophets not to prophesize. Why? It must have been uncomfortable for these upper crusts of society to hear the prophets criticize their way of life. It must have been awkward for them to even have a nazir around, whose ascetic behavior gave them a sense of inferiority, as it stood in stark contrast to the hedonistic lifestyle they had grown accustomed to. So rather than make any real change, they simply ordered the prophets to stop talking and plied the Nazirites with wine. They corrupted and handicapped the spiritual guides so that they could no longer make them feel substandard. And with that, this chain of inspiration, of spiritual impact, has been broken and crushed. Now that you are no longer being inspired, being gently moved upward, you have truly desecrated Hashem's name. How can Hashem's name be sanctified by you and through you if you won't stop behaving in this cruel and callous fashion? And so, the psukim from verses 13 to 16 continue to describe the painful punishment that Hashem will mete out to this nation for being so derelict in their lofty mission. And don't think you are strong enough, fast enough, or important enough to escape my retribution. So yes, a strong and heavy message of fire and brimstone. But the Haftorah continues to Parak Gimel, chapter 3, where the first psukim remind us of the prism which allows us to view this message from Hashem as a great lesson of the humanity and moral idealism he expects us to learn from the eternal words of the Navi. Verse 1, Shim'u es hadavar hazeh asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei Yisrael al kol ha-mishpacha asher ha'alesi me'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Hear these words that Hashem said about you, about this entire family that Hashem brought up from Egypt. Only you have I known. Only you have I loved. From all the families of the earth, you are my special nation. I love you. I invest in you. This is why I hold you to these standards. It is not despite your specialness and closeness to Hashem that you are expected to treat your fellow man as an equal. It is precisely because of it. Im yitaka shofar ba'ir va'am lo yecharadu. Im tia ra'a ba'ir va'Hashem lo asa. If the shofar is blown in the city, will the nation not be afraid? If evil happens in the city, didn't Hashem do it? Hashem doesn't do anything without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Arye sha'ag mi lo yira. Hashem diber mi lo yinave. When a lion roars, who does not fear? And when Hashem speaks, who would not prophesize? Listen to your prophets. They do speak in my name. Take heed of their shofar. Let it break your heart and come home to your hearts. Come home to your soul. Come home to me. Thank you for studying together.